Welcome back into the program. Hope you are well on this Friday as we enter another weekend of college football season. It's been a good week of shows so far. This week on BuntSports.com, the college football professor was with us on Wednesday. He talked about what is to be expected this weekend and gave some analysis of last weekend, as did David Sears on Monday. Week 5, man, what a weekend in college football. We saw so many top games from Georgia and LSU, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and many more. And it should be another good one this week, week 6 in college football. We will talk about all the games in a moment. But first, I want to talk about what has been going on in Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama. Nick Saban announced on Wednesday that Clinton Dix, free safety, has been suspended indefinitely for a violation of team rules. He did not at the time specify about the nature of the violation. Yesterday, Thursday, the Tuscaloosa News reported that Alabama strength and conditioning coach Corey Harris had been placed on administrative leave for providing impermissible benefits to Clinton Dix. According to the report, Harris made a short-term loan to Dix in an amount less than $500 after Dix's car was broken into on the night of June 25th or the morning of June 26th. They obtained the police report, TideSports.com did, and it details theft of an iPad, backpack, sandals, and several other things, as well as money from Dix's car. And apparently, this strength and conditioning coach provided him with a loan of less than $500 to help pay back some of the damage done by the theft. But once again, Alabama is in headlines, and once again, the headlines aren't good. And I will just say this. Alabama is number one. They have not faltered on the field since the Texas A&M game of last year, and that includes a BCS championship win, an SEC championship win. As far as play on the field, they are the best in the country, and there's no one who has been able to knock them off that pedestal yet. But the off-the-field stories this year have been more than concerning if you're viewing this Alabama program from 30,000 feet. A report out of AL.com yesterday reported that it just talked about the suspension list at Alabama has grown to 10 in the last 8 months. Remember the four players who were kicked off of the team for the violence issue? Had an altercation with another student. Think some theft may have been involved there, too. That, of course, they're in legal trouble. You had the DJ Fluker situation that happened about 3 weeks ago, detailing a report in which DJ Fluker, who is not at Alabama anymore, but it talked about when he was at Alabama last year, getting impermissible benefits as well. And then, of course, the Geno Smith arrest for DUI before the season, and I'm forgetting some because the list is longer than that. But this is a growing trend right now, it seems, at the University of Alabama, and I tell you, no one has been more complimentary of the job that Nick Saban has done in Tuscaloosa than I have. I think he is the best in college football, probably one of the best, well, no doubt the best in the game now, maybe one of the best ever. He's in the argument, top three, top four coaches of all time. But he's responsible for this program and what goes on in it. Clinton Dix receiving impermissible benefits less than $500, that's not a big deal. When you combine it with all these other stories, they add up, though. But the most striking thing and the most concerning thing, if you were an Alabama fan in this story, is the fact that a strength coach, granted, not a coach on the coaching staff, let's specify, this is a strength coach, someone who works with the athletic training of the players, but still, a staff member in Tuscaloosa, someone on the ground, embedded in the program, gave him this money, and the report also says that the strength coach, whose name is Corey Harris, was connected to an agent somehow. Now, what does connected to an agent mean? I don't know. We could get into the specifics of this report, or we could just simply look at this entire situation for what it is, and that is, of course, that there are a lot of stories coming out about Alabama right now. Not many are positive. The only positive ones coming out about Alabama are the game recaps after the wins. But anything else seems to be negative, and it seems like Alabama is constantly chasing these stories. So as they go for history and they go for the three-peat and all the excitement and energy that's tied up in that, there seems to be a lot of it in this vacuum in dealing with these off-the-field stories. So we'll see where it goes. I don't know where it'll lead. Alabama compliance, I'm sure, is looking into it, and I don't know whether the NCAA will or not. What has the NCAA done lately that would convince anyone that they would take any action? And if Alabama is cheating seriously here, if they are breaking the rules, shattering the rules, if they have coaches on the staff that are doing unscrupulous activities, then so what? Who's going to stop them? Is the NCAA? I don't think so. Not the way they've handled Miami. Other situations that... Does anyone think they're going to investigate what went on at Oklahoma State? Now, we can debate. Alabama, of course, is not comparable as far as the allegations. They're not as salacious as what happened at Miami. Definitely not as salacious as what happened at Oklahoma State. But they're starting to pile up here. Is it a culture problem? I mean, we talk all the time about lack of institutional control, coaches having too much power. We've seen it in different scenarios. I could bring up examples. Joe Paterno at Penn State, of course, was one. Is it out of control in Tuscaloosa? I don't know. But it certainly has. The reports haven't been good. And, you know, Alabama fans will want to turn the narrative as quickly as they can. All right, let's look at the college football schedule for Week 6 and talk about some of these games. Number 25, Maryland, is at Florida State. That's an 11 o'clock game on ESPN. Could this be an upset special? I talked about last week how I thought that Boston College was going to give Florida State a run for their money, and they really did for most of that game. They started off, of course, leading 17-3. Florida State then took over for a while, but Boston College hung around till very late in that game. I don't think Maryland will be able to do that. It's at Florida State. I do think the morning kickoffs tend to favor the road team, but I still think Florida State will be able to win and do so fairly comfortably. I like Florida State in that game. Number 3, Clemson at Syracuse. This is on ABC or ESPN2, depending on your regional breakdown, at 2:30. I tend to like Clemson pretty easily in this one. The other game on the other network between those two, Minnesota and Michigan, same time, 2:30. This is one some people think Michigan could struggle with. I don't. I think the Wolverines will continue rolling with a victory at home. Georgia at Tennessee. This is 2:30 on CBS. I have heard some people pointing this out as a potential upset for the Bulldogs. Seriously? Tennessee beating anyone right now? This is a team that was throttled at Oregon a couple of weeks ago, and South Alabama... I watched the end of the game last week. South Alabama had a legitimate chance at four downs on the Tennessee, well inside the Tennessee red zone, and they couldn't punch it in. Tennessee's not very good. Tennessee's not beating Georgia Saturday. I don't care where the game's being played. I don't care what network it's on. It's not going to happen. Kansas State at number 21, Oklahoma State. The Cowboys need a bounce-back game, and this is what the doctor ordered. I don't like Kansas State this year. I don't like their defense, and I think Oklahoma State will be able to put up plenty of points on them. LSU at Mississippi State. This one's very interesting to me. I tend to want to think this is an upset special for the Tigers. You got to think they're very depressed after losing such a close, hard-fought game in Athens last week. And Mississippi State, as bad as they have looked at times, they looked terrible against Oklahoma State. You know, they let Auburn march right down the field and get the victory a couple of weeks ago when they had that game seemingly won. Mississippi State has not been impressive this year. But I have a sneaking suspicion that Dan Mullen, and he needs something positive. He really does. may make this game very, very close and perhaps pull off the upset. TCU is at number 11, Oklahoma. That's at 6 o'clock on Fox. Oklahoma, of course, after the big win last weekend in South Bend over Notre Dame, they are number 11 and seem to be the class of that conference, the Big 12. And Bob Stoops' mouth was in gear earlier this week once again. Remember, we recall from the offseason, he said that the SEC's success was nothing more than propaganda. Now he says the SEC can't play defense. Well, Bob, don't think you played much defense either when you played the last SEC team you faced in the Cotton Bowl. 41-13 was the final score. Johnny Manziel's Aggies thrashed Oklahoma. They better be careful this weekend. TCU, I realize it's in Norman. Oklahoma better be careful. This is a chance that TCU would love to pull the upset. And you got to think Oklahoma. Think about that Texas game and what kind of number they could put up on Mack Brown's horns next weekend. Arkansas at number 18, Florida. This is on ESPN2 at 6 o'clock. This is a very interesting game. I like the way Arkansas has started this year. I know they lost to Rutgers, but I still think that program is definitely on the rebound after the disastrous season they had last year. Florida has not looked that bad. They did lose to Miami. They have struggled at times, but I think since they've gotten Tyler Murphy, the second part of that Tennessee game, the Kentucky game, I really thought Kentucky would challenge them more than they did last week, and I realize it's Kentucky, but I think this one is, I like Florida in the game because of their defense. They're just locking teams down defensively, and I think that they can handle this Arkansas pro-style attack very, very efficiently, and I think Tyler Murphy has just got enough of that X factor, created that other dimension that Florida's offense kind of missed. Now, I'm not saying that Murphy's better than Driscoll or anything like that, but I think he has given that offense and given the opponents another thing to prepare for. I like Florida in this game, and I like them to move the football. Number 24, Ole Miss rolls into Jordan-Hare Stadium to play Auburn, and you know that place is going to be rocking. That's at 6 o'clock on ESPNU. Ole Miss has 20 players who are under investigation by the school for saying some inappropriate comments towards some actors in a play. If you want to read about it, you can certainly do that. You can just use Google. But I don't think that's going to be that big of a distraction. I think Ole Miss is going to come in this game looking for redemption. And they were embarrassed last week at Alabama. There's no question. After Bo Wallace said what he said about putting up points on Alabama, Ole Miss was not able to back it up. But I do think they're going to get points this week. The problem is I think Auburn's going to move the ball as well. And I think both teams are going to score quite a few points. I like Ole Miss close in a shootout. You don't win very often by a large margin at Auburn. Difficult place to play. But I like Ole Miss close. Number 22, Arizona State takes on Notre Dame. I don't see any way Notre Dame can win this football game. You just look across the board. Where do they have an advantage? They don't. Missouri at Vanderbilt. Missouri has started 4-0, the only other undefeated team besides Alabama in the SEC. I think they will continue that this weekend. That's at 6:30 on CBS. Kentucky at South Carolina. You can name your score if you're a Gamecock fan. This one will be very, very fun to watch. And number four, Ohio State at number 16, Northwestern. In Evanston, College Game Day visiting the Purple People Eaters for the first time since 1995. You know, I think Northwestern has a shot to keep this one very close. I just can't pick them, but I sure do like the way they have challenged, or Pat Fitzgerald has gotten his team to play at a high level this year. And I am I'm looking for a very close contest. Just have to go with Braxton Miller in the offense against that Northwestern defense that's ranked in the 80s in the country. It's just not good enough, I don't think, to get enough stops. Ohio State wins because of more offensive possessions. They outscore Northwestern. And then Washington at Stanford. I like Washington in this game. I really do. On the road at Stanford. Stanford put a heavy, heavy number on Washington State last week. They really destroyed the Cougars in a game that I thought would be an upset. So I picked against them twice in a row, but I really think that this Washington team we'll be able to get it done. But we will see how it goes. But another great weekend of college football season looks to be upcoming. I'm Jacob Bunn. We will be back on Monday. David Sears will have reaction, as well as a number of other things next week, and we'll talk about it. But enjoy the games. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll be back on Monday.